innercitygeeks.net.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Inner City Geeks podcast. It's Steve here, and this is episode 267. And joining me today, I got Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Chilling. Just another amazing time, another amazing week, full of greatness. You know, you gotta be excited for it.
I thought you were gonna say full of amazing things.
Yeah, I could have said that.
To go with the amazing.
Yeah, it's just nothing but amazingness. Yeah. It's all good, though. It's all good. So what's going on? How you doing, man? How's your week been?
The week's been exhausting.
That's like always
every other week.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what happens. It's never a dull moment when it comes to you being a dad.
Yeah, especially when you get two for one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The 2-for-1 special.
Mm-hmm. And that's the special that, like, it just keeps giving.
Absolutely.
It just keeps giving more and more and more.
In all the best ways possible, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, today, went apple picking. Right, so, went apple picking with the girls for the first time. And they were just basically walking with us, like holding our hand at times, and then other times just walking and observing life.
Mm-hmm.
And like pointing at kids and dogs.
Like, oh, there's a kid. Oh, there's a dog. Oh, there's another kid. Uh-huh. One of those type of things. Yeah.
Pretty much. And then, it was a lot of fun. It was just tiring. And then, just looking at those little two, well, they're not even little anymore. They're like little people.
Well, yeah, especially now that they're walking. They're like mini Oompa Loompas.
Pretty much.
Like smaller Oompa Loompas than regular Oompa Loompas already are.
Yeah, like you expect to hear Oompa
Loompa. Yeah. You just see them waddling down the street.
Right. But, no, it was good. I was with my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law.
Nice.
Yeah, so like we went up to Warwick. It's beautiful up there. It's just such a small town away from life that I'm like,
right. It's a getaway.
It's definitely a getaway. Because I've been in smaller towns than that, and for example, my wife's family is from a town called Clayton, which is like super far up to the. It's super far up north. It's like a 7-hour road trip.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours past Syracuse.
Well, you got to think about it. Like 7 hours up towards Syracuse from New York City is pretty much like let's say from Florida or from Tampa where I am up towards like Jacksonville. Okay. It's about the same distance.
But at least Jacksonville's not tiny.
Yeah, but it's also hood as fuck.
Yeah, but the thing about Clayton. This is why I don't like small towns.
It's the reverse of being hood as fuck.
It's especially, and I finally understand. So, I've spoken about the show over the last couple of weeks, but like I finally understand Midnight Mass.
Okay.
Aside from me rewatching it, but like I finally understand it because they all went batshit crazy. Well, that's not really the plot of the show, but like
they're on a
small island. Where everybody knows each other. If, like, you basically, if you take a shit, they know it at, like, the local,
you know? they know who it is by the smell.
Pretty much. They're like, oh, that was Steve.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, but yeah, no, all jokes aside, Warwick is nice, but it's small, and apple picking was fun.
Okay.
It's just tiring.
Well, yeah, I can imagine.
And it was so weird driving through the city today and not being at New York Comic Con this year.
Yeah. Because
I know, I remember last year, during the show. I joked. I was like, oh, I was at Comic-Con, but nobody was there. And then, like, this year, there's people there, but, yo, a lot of vendors did not show up this year.
Yeah, that's what you told me, yeah.
Yeah. So, New York Comic-Con this year, apparently there was, like, elbow room, and, like, Sunday passes finally sold out today.
Yeah.
Which is
wild. Well, because it's also because, like, a lot of people are still technically scared of what's going on out there.
Of course.
So like they don't want to be inside. They don't want to be around a bunch of other people. And not only just that, but like a lot of people that it's been a year and a half of wearing masks. So yeah. They're like, I don't want to do things that I have to wear a fucking mask for.
Right. If it's not a cosplay mask, I don't want to wear it.
Right, exactly.
So basically so what Alex was telling me, though, I had a good chat with a wrestler last night for about 2 hours.
Nice.
Yeah, like, I looked at my phone, it was like 2 a.m. I'm like, fuck, I gotta go to bed.
I gotta be up early to go picking apples.
Well, see, I totally forgot about apple picking today. I thought it was, I gotta get up early and watch the kids so Meg could, you know, work. but I'm like, oh, yeah.
She was like, ha-ha, joke's on you, motherfucker.
So he was telling me that they were really good about checking vaccines, about the
cards. Not about the cards, yeah.
They were actually matching up your ID to the card or the pass on your phone.
Oh, nice.
Which is good, because they weren't so good at AEW.
Yeah.
At AEW, I could have literally held up a blank sheet of paper, and they were like, okay. hence why, after being in a crowd of 22,000 people, I went on that Saturday to get tested.
Yeah, that's fair. That's completely fair.
Fully vaccinated and everything. I'm like,
let me. I just want to make sure.
Let me make sure I don't pass it along.
Yeah, yeah. And especially since you have the kids there, and you also have you know, Jen and shit. So yeah, not Jen, but fucking Meg.
Yeah. I don't know who Jen is.
Yeah. Neither do I. It's a figment of her. It's a fictional character.
so like, yeah, it's like, plus, you know, people I know are immunocompromised, so it's better to be safe than sorry.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, it was weird not being at New York Comic Con this year. Like, tomorrow's just Saturday, you know, like, it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. And what I was telling you over the week or yesterday, whatever, it was like, the following vendors are not there: Marvel, DC, Funko, Mezco, and Midtown Comics all did not attend this year.
Wow.
That is, I mean, think about it. The Midtown is one of their biggest money makers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a comic convention, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they'd have other comic book stuff there. Yeah, I mean,
of course you had your like your mom and pops and your third parties.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, over the last couple of years, Mezco got really big.
Right, of course.
So, I mean, I remember going in 2016 and getting my first one, and I bought it, the con exclusive, like, the third day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. But then, like, now you go in there, and it's like, as soon as you get there, it's gone.
Yeah.
So, they're a moneymaker. Funko is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for the things like Marvel and DC, like, Marvel, you know, they always have that big stage in the center of the main floor.
Yeah.
So, it's so weird to, like, not experience that and all, like, the giveaways and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what Alex was telling me is that, like, DC not being there, that means all, like, that back end where everybody goes to smoke, like, there's not one superhero costume.
Yeah. Well, you gotta think about it, too, like, the fact that DC has their own thing in the next couple weeks. They have the fandom or whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
That they did last year, they're doing it again this year.
Alright, but still, to have that area just blank.
Yeah.
That's so different.
Yeah, it definitely is.
I'm definitely gonna attend next year, though, because I feel like, and that was also my original thing, was to, like, not go, because I want to give it a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, there's variants and shit out there, but, like, being vaccinated, I think, helps.
Oh, for sure. Mind.
it eases the mindset. But yeah, so it was so weird being in the city, but going in the opposite direction,
mm-hmm.
and then being elsewhere during a big part of my life. You know, I love going.
Yeah.
Even though I hate going, I love going.
I hate it, but I love it. Yeah, I got you. That makes sense. That's fair.
Although, truthfully, I have a lot more fun at Toy Fair.
Of course, yeah, because it's a totally different. Even though it is the same place, it's a different atmosphere because also there aren't just regular people there. It's all just technically press.
It's press, press. Whether it be writers, vloggers, bloggers, action figure reviewers, and photography. Then you got your buyers, your sellers, your wholesalers. You know, like Funko is going to sell X amount of cases of pops to mm-hmm. this comic shop or this mom and pop store,
yeah.
or Walmart or Target, et cetera. And so, like, the only way to get into Toy Fair is to have been a
first credential, in a way.
Yeah, basically. So you can't go in and just be like, oh, hey, I want
to
go.
And the good thing about it, too, is that you're not paying to get there.
Pretty much.
But you're going to do all those things and essentially possibly get free toys.
True.
So I can see why you like it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot more.
I mean, truthfully, I was lucky enough now 2 years in a row for Toy Fair to get 3 Mezco. Because it was the press samples. You know, of course, you got to review them, and I do.
Of course.
And I'm grateful that they give that opportunity, which is fantastic for them to do that. But it's a lot of work. Because, like, aside from, you know, getting the free shit and having a review for said vendors, I also have to, like, write about certain things, record video for certain things. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. It's a job.
Yeah, it is a job. That's why a lot of people get paid to do it.
Yeah. But the thing, the difference about Toy Fair versus Comic-Con is, like, the amount of people.
Yeah.
You know, you could actually roam the floor. You could roam the main stage. Actually, the main stage is, like, where, like, some booths are set up. But you could also, like, roam the main floor, the main showroom, back and forth, up and down, and you, like, meet people quicker because you're not, like, elbow to elbow,
right,
bumping into each other, you know.
I could just thinking about it, because it kind of reminds, from what you're explaining, it kind of reminds me, like, when we did special edition that only lasted, like, what, a year and a half or 2 years.
It's been longer. Special edition's been longer than that.
No, but it only happened like once or twice, right?
Oh yeah, I misheard. It was only like it only happened like 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Special edition was literally just like nothing but comics or whatever.
Yeah, like special edition, which it sucks that was not like a big hit.
Yeah.
Because it was a lot of fun. You know, you still got like to catch up with your people and cosplay mm-hmm. and shit. And that wasn't at the Javits though. That was down.
It was at the Javits.
I thought no one was at the pier.
No. It was at the Javits. It was at the Javits, but it wasn't as big because they only had that one little part where they usually do the
Artist Alley.
Mm-hmm.
Which was closed. Which has been closed off for a couple of years because of construction.
Yeah. Yep.
Because the Javits is now like.
It's a lot bigger now. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been building out like the next block.
The next block over like over north or next on or south.
Like what is it? The Javits ends at what, 38th Street?
Yeah.
They want the whole square block of 39.
Holy shit, okay.
Yeah. I don't know if it's half a parking structure and half convention level, or if I might be blanking, and I think 40th is the parking level and 39th is more convention.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The Javits Center
is fucking huge.
The Javits Center will be New York City.
Yeah.
By the year if the end of the world doesn't happen, Manhattan is going to be the Jacob Javits Center.
Yeah, I would not be surprised. Which is kind of why, like, why years ago they were planning on doing a whole stadium out there, taking over pretty much the Javits Center.
I remember this. Yeah.
But which it, technically, if you really look at it, that's what the size of a stadium would look like, just wider.
Yeah, it's stretched out versus like being like a what normal stadiums look like, that diamond shape for baseball, or like,
yeah.
The oval slash rectangle for football.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
it's it's technically about the same, like if you go lengthwise, it's about the same length.
Yeah. Which is
widthwise, it's trust me, I know, because like I walk the fucking stadium whenever I'm at the fucking state at Raymond James all the time. So yeah, like, I know how it is.
But yeah, like that whole, like the Javits Center is huge. So it's nice, you know, at Toy Fair to be able to just like still see all your friends, and one of the best parts though is that in the area at Comic-Con where DC normally takes over, it's my press lounge. I get coffee, muffins, bagels, candy, soda, water.
Yeah, the works.
I sit on a couch and just chill. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, if I got some free shit, I like to open it and study it. Get like a little corner area where if I wanted to review something, I just whip out my phone, just do it.
That's the best. That's the fucking best. That's one thing that I missed about the Javits Center and actually being at the conventions and stuff out there is actually getting to see all of our friends that we don't usually get to see all the time. Like back then, like you, me, Alex, and Mario, we always just hang out because we always just technically be in the same fucking building, other than Mario for the most part.
So this just happened. My friend Danny texted me just now about Comic-Con. So he only went yesterday, right? He just wanted to go in and out.
Mm-hmm.
He just texted me that at the Ghostbusters panel, they fucking played Afterlife.
The whole movie?
The whole movie.
Holy shit, that's awesome.
That's amazing.
That's pretty dope.
But holy shit. Imagine just being there going, okay, I'm just going to be here. And then there you go. Holy shit.
Yeah. And it kind of makes sense because like the movie's coming out soon. And the fact that like they were like, fuck it. We need to see what other people think about it. So why not give it to people that are actually like thinking about watching it in general?
It's... Man, I'm fucking like, I'm pissed.
I know you're pissed. I know you're pissed. What up, Renee? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Chilling, dude. What's going
on? Not much.
All right, Brian. So you're pretty much good.
Yeah. I mean, aside from watching a bunch of shit, which I'll get to later or never, it's cool. But yeah, totally good. I've kind of rambled on for a bit, so yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Renee, what's going on, dude?
Not much. Just a lot of stressing out over money and driving. I honestly haven't had a chance to watch much because I have been driving. The one thing I did see that was pretty good, it was actually pretty crazy, and I had never heard of this cult. It's this thing on a documentary on HBO called The Way Down.
Okay.
And it's about this cult in the South, of course, where it was like a cult around the concept that the more healthier you are, the more like Christ-like you are, the holier you are. So this lady made like a religious kind of like weight loss cult where like the more weight you lost, the holier you were.
Not over life.
Yeah, it's a crazy concept. I know, like, and I was watching it. I was like, how the fuck these people follow this fucking idiot? When you look at the lady who was like the leader of it, you could tell she had an eating disorder. Okay. So I was like, but then again, religion and cults don't make any sense to me at all. So like, definitely check it out. The crazy part of it is that the lady that they're talking about died earlier this year. She was in a plane crash with her husband and like half her family.
Jesus.
And no, maybe there is a God and fucking got rid of her. because of her bullshit. But no, she had like a there was a plane crash. I think it was in spring, early summer this year.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah, because I remember the plane crash thing, but I just didn't know anything else about it. But like the people that are talking about this lady, like they act like she's like the Antichrist. Like it's fucked up, like the way they talk about her. Like they're like scared of her. And like the viewer knows that she's dead, and the people that like when the people that you're watching talking about her, they still think she's alive. So it's like it's a really kind of like weird look at somebody like that. It's actually a really good documentary thing. It's three parts. Because of what happened with the lady that you know, she died. I guess they had to change plans, and it's supposed to be like part two is supposed to come out next year. Like I guess the continuation of it, because it says it's supposed to be two more episodes. But yeah, the three that are on HBO are really good. It is insane the way this person like manipulated so many people and got away with a lot of shit. You have to check it out. And again, as somebody who's like kind of fascinated by that kind of aspect of religion and faith, I was shocked. I never heard about this shit, but it was like it's really crazy. Yeah, I don't think I've watched that much other stuff. Like I've been playing the Avengers games on Game Pass. You know, if you have Xbox, they have this thing called Game Pass where like it's a service, you pay a month and you get access to all these games. And the Avengers game is on there, so I've been playing that. It's a good game. It's not a great game or anything.
Because a lot of the I have it. It's a lot of the missions are repetitive.
Yeah, it's just like the beginning. Like I'm playing it just to kind of get the story.
Yeah.
But I could see where that shit gets old and stupid.
It's it's sorry to interrupt. But it's like the story is great. The story, like the actual story behind all the bullshit, is great. But and the gameplay is a lot of fun. But leveling up these characters. You go to this mission on like almost identical bases with Jarvis basically telling you the identical thing, but for a different enemy. And that's where the repetitive shit comes in. And I beat it, but like then I tried to play it again recently with like the download for Kate Bishop, because Kate Bishop and Hawkeye are in there now. And I think Black Panther too. And like, yeah. As much as I want to play those, I'm like, I want to play their story, but I don't want to have to be like, have Jarvis constantly be like, you know, the hack is at 20% or they're doing this or blah, 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 or, but yeah, anyway, enough.
Yeah. I'm at the point where it's starting to get repetitive and I could see where it could be annoying. I also think like the fact that they couldn't use all the characters or that they didn't, I mean, I know there's a difference between looking like the MCU characters and not looking like them. Because, like, the Nintendo game, the Marvel Alliance games are like that. They look more like the comic books. But here, they don't even look like anybody connected to them at all. Like, they don't even look like the comic book version. It's just, like, they look like, they look like cosplay versions of the characters. It's really funny. Like, I was like, that kind of threw me off. The Kamala Khan thing, actually, this is kind of, like, a weird little rant that I was kind of thinking about this week. I get the character. I get it. I understand why they have to kind of do these characters. Mm-hmm. But to me, it doesn't matter. I'm not a girl from Jersey that wants to like see the world. Like it's representation to me doesn't really matter as much as it does to people now. Like when we were growing up watching this shit, it was literally all white people and maybe a couple of black and Hispanic people. Mm-hmm. But like that kind of thing doesn't do it for me. And then like playing as a character that I have no interest in, kind of like I had to like push myself through the beginning of the game. Because the beginning, like the first like quarter of the game, like the tutorial stuff, I guess in the beginning, you're playing as Kamala Khan. And I gotta admit, she's not as dumb a character as I thought she was. Because like, you know, I kind of looked into her after playing the game a little bit.
Right.
But like her shit in the beginning is really like boring. Like there's nothing to really like push you really hard to get get past the stuff that you're doing with her. And it's a weird game. Like I could see where they fucked up. I mean, if this is all they had to offer when this is supposed to be a games as a service, there's nothing here. Like it's really dumb. The game really needed a lot more of everything for it to be bigger. Like I'm glad it's on Game Pass because I would never pay like full price for it. But like, you know, I'm really happy that I'm getting to play it like this. Cause yeah, it's such a meh game. It should have the definition meh. Like if you look it up and on the dictionary, it would be like this game. Like meh. Like because it needs more characters. It needs more types of missions. It needs more like oof, you know. And then everything you got to pay for everything. That's another thing that I was like, I remember like reading about it. That was one of the major things, one of the main complaints. Mm-hmm. But then looking at it, you're like, holy shit, people are right. Like it's like everything costs money. There's all these stupid costumes. There's like all these like stupid costumes that you can buy. And you can only buy them. And they don't even look that good. And you're supposed to pay like, what, $2-3 a pop? I'm like, this is fucking dumb. Fuck that. Yeah, it's a game that, like, you know, if you got Xbox, if you got Game Pass and then you're into that shit, like, you know, check it out. But like, yeah, it's like, what a fucking nothing kind of game.
The voice cast is good.
And the soundtrack has a lot of really good music too, which I was kind of like taken aback. But the voice work is cool. That's what I'm saying. Like the story stuff is kind of good, but to get to it, because like once you get past the Kamala Khan part, you start recruiting Avengers, right?
Yeah.
There isn't even that many guys to fucking recruit. So I was just like, what the fuck is this? Like I think I'm up to like Captain America. No, Captain America is the last one. So I'm almost about to get Black Widow. And I'm just like, eh. Like, how can you make flying as Iron Man not fun? I was like, dumb.
It's like the DC games back in the day when they were trying to make Superman fly and it looked like shit.
Superman game for Returns.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I had more fun playing as Iron Man in the Iron Man video game for Xbox back in 2008 than I did playing as Iron Man in this game.
Yeah, it's really stupid. The Hulk stuff is cool. But then again, like, the enemies, too, are fucking dumb.
Yep.
It's just like, eh.
And, like, playing as Thor was fun, though. Because, like, you could control the hammer. So, like, when you throw the hammer and purposely miss a target and then wheel it back and crack him, which is dope. I was having a lot of fun with that. But even that got repetitive.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's about it. Like, I've been driving. I took a bunch of days off this week, but it's like, yeah, I've been driving nonstop pretty much every day for like the last 2 weeks before we recorded. But yeah.
Nice. Very cool. I guess as far as for me, like, I really haven't been doing a lot. Been doing a lot of braining, you know, just thinking about shit. And that's pretty much it. I haven't really been doing a lot of shit. The only thing that really like grabbed my attention this week is I've been catching up on Titans. Jesus Christ, my brain just went Titans is dope.
I didn't get to watch last night's. So I'll watch that after we record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good. It's really good.
It's a great season.
The last episode that I watched was the episode that I guess spoilers or whatever. It's a few episodes ago. Where Tim Drake dies. Mm-hmm. And they're all basically like sold or whatever. Tim Drake dies or whatever. He's in like the purgatory or whatever. And there's a lot of people that are not a lot of people, but there are people that we know already that we've seen in season two pretty much. Even in season three. Where we get to see Hawk, who passed away, of course. But we also get to see Donna Troy, who we saw past in last season. I was like, no, why? And then we see her again, I'm like, yay. But it's the way they did it and the way they made the whole episode feel, it felt really fucking good.
It did. It had a lot of heart.
Yeah. It had a lot of fucking heart. And I fucking loved it. Like it was probably like to me probably the best episode of the season.
Yeah.
Not just because, you know, people died and shit like that, but the fact that you actually see a lot of heart in the episode throughout the entire thing, whether it's on their side of the story or a bit on Raven's side, we haven't seen a lot of Raven in this entire season so far.
No, not at all.
And the fact that she's in Themis Gara, she's training with the Amazons or whatever. And they're basically teaching her how to basically handle her powers, because she's technically like, she's just learning how to do everything with her powers.
Right.
And how they're blaming her for people dying. And it's good the way they did it. I really, really, really enjoyed that episode.
The closure with Hawk.
Yeah.
With his brother. That.
Yep.
I mean, I almost fucking teared with that shit.
Dude, me too. It was good. It was really fucking good.
Oh, man.
And not only just that, but like the fact that they brought him back and then he's like, yo, like, I've kind of figured shit out. Like, I'm doing things a little differently than I was before. He kind of like, he seems a lot more centered. He's, of course, not on fucking drugs anymore. But he seems like a totally different person.
Yeah.
In the afterlife, or whatever you want to call it.
I love how he managed to like channel guns out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. Because like you said, he was like, yo, like, this isn't a place like we usually, we don't have things easily accessible. So if you just think about it, you could actually get it. And it, the way they did it throughout the entire episode, it was awesome.
And I like the fact that Limbo was black and white.
Yes, that was awesome. That's one thing that I told you about the other day. Whenever you were watching a movie, you asked me about it. Oh, I asked you like, do the different time periods or whatever or different things. Oh no, it was probably with Charlie, because he was telling me about some show called Ordinary Men. And how it has like three different, you know, timelines or whatever. Okay. And I asked them, do they make things look different in each different timeline? And he said they don't. He said they, it's all pretty much filmed the same way. And that's what I love about this episode, the fact that like you have this limbo or the purgatory area of the episode is pretty much shot in black and white. And then when they go into Themis Gara, it's basically like a sand type color.
Yes.
And it looked really fucking good.
Yeah, that was dope.
Yeah, it looked really awesome, and I was like, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Like, this series has definitely gotten really good.
Yeah. Like, I've always enjoyed it. Really, 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 really like, I like it a lot. I've loved it before. But it just solidified my impressions of it.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, it took me a long time to finally watch it, but when I did, I liked it from the first episode.
Yeah.
And when Grayson was Robin still and he like kicked the shit out of some thugs, and there was blood. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm into this. Because this is the way DC should be, live action.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I went through season one. Of course, went through season two. And then, just getting into season three, I mean, it's just, you could tell it grew up as a show, but the writing didn't go stale. The writing actually got a little bit better. There's a lot more storytelling on season three, because it's like season one and most of season two, you had to build up the characters.
Yeah.
So now we know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, oh, okay, now tell me the story that you want to tell. And this is what it's done so far.
Yeah. And they've done it. They've done it really, really fucking well.
Yeah. And blanking on the actor's name, but the one playing Crane, you know, I told you he's from Mad Men.
Mm-hmm. Which I still haven't watched Mad Men.
That's one of the, on my list of shows, it's probably like on my top 10.
Okay.
Of TV shows ever. But so he was from Mad Men, and his character, like, he portrayed such a dick on that show for seven seasons, but that's him being like a great actor and doing his job.
Yeah.
And now you see him in a different, like a different light, a different aspect, playing Crane, where it starts out where he's just like a fucking stoner in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, slowly grows more into the Jonathan Crane that we know, where he was, may have been a stoner in prison, but he was actually studying you.
Yeah.
And knowing you're in and out of every little part of your body, mm-hmm. weakness-wise, and where, like, the stress will come from, and just, like, analyzing everything.
Analyzing everything, and then putting it, taking it all, and throwing it back in your face without even fucking noticing that he's doing it.
And it's like he's been Scarecrow without the mask.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm sure it'll come, but like, he's just been Jonathan Crane throwing dust in your face,
mm-hmm.
poisoning your water supply without you knowing it.
Yeah. But technically, I don't think it will come, because at this point, he's pretty much like, everybody knows who he is. Everybody knows he is who he is. Like, he's been in prison for a reason, because Batman put him there. So he doesn't need to hide it. He doesn't need to hide the fact that he is that, you know, that notorious character. He's just like, I'm just going to be who I am, and you guys are going to fucking deal with it, no matter how you fucking see it.
Yeah, like, I mean, it definitely makes sense, because this is, like, I mean, Bruce Wayne is older, Alfred's mm-hmm. gone, you know, like, Nightwing is definitely like an older man. You know, characters change.
Yeah. You
know, and I like that they went with that whole, this is not a Batman show, this is where mm-hmm. we've grown up.
Yep. Like, the fact that they do mention Batman from time to time, and they do have, you know, not necessarily flashbacks, but scenes with him in it, kind of make it, you know, that much more believable. Like, oh yeah, he's there, but he's not there. Because technically he is retired. He's like, I don't want to fucking do this anymore. And then at the end of the episode, you see him kind of fucking like trying to kill himself because of all the shit that he's done, and all the shit that he's pretty much fucking like, all the people that he's pretty much like let down and done wrong in Gotham made it that much better for me. Like, I was like, holy shit. Like, it showed that he actually does have some type of sentiments. He does fucking care about people. He's like, he feels bad about everything and everybody that died. And now that you have somebody that's trying to be, like, your partner, and he pretty much dies before he even gets a chance to.
Yeah.
It's fucking fantastic. I fucking love the writing for this shit. It's fucking good. Another thing that I watched, that I literally just watched just before we got on here, is The Wonder Years. I mentioned The Wonder Years last week or a couple weeks ago, after watching the first episode. And I watched the latest two episodes. And I'm going to say, it's a fucking fantastic show. It pretty much, like I've said it before, it basically follows a black family instead of a white family this year. Like, it takes place around the same time as the regular Wonder Years, just in Montgomery, Alabama. And it's a really good story that has, like, some great narration, amazing fucking acting, like, for like, you know, people that are trying to redo the late 60s now do it really, really well. Not only just the adults, but the kids. Like, the kids are actually really good at it as well. Like, there have been times that kids are shitty actors, but they do a really good job at this one. I'm a big fan of this show. Like, I like it a lot. And not only just that, but like the fact that like Fred Savage is actually behind this too. Like, he's the executive producer on it, and they're doing a really good job with the show.
That's great.
I like it a lot. Yeah, like, they talk about, you know, they talk about racism. They talk about fucking the Martin Luther King. The first episode is he died or whatever. Mm-hmm. Then in the second episode, it's pretty much them. They go to a white school for the most part, and he's there in a white school, and everybody just looks at him because he's of course the only black kid in the school, mm-hmm. and they're all like, "Oh, this is like, you know," and the teacher just basically like, she gives him a C on a paper, and then she's like, "Oh my god, you don't usually do this bad in a paper, because he's a really good student. And the teacher's like, oh, I know why you're doing so bad. It's because, you know, because of Martin Luther King, you weren't able to focus or whatever. I'm just going to give you an A. Kind of like a sympathy A.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But it's good. It's a good fucking show. When, in all reality, it was because he was mad because the girl that he liked was kind of dating another kid in her class that was his best friend. Very similar to the Wonder Years, the original ship. But like I said, it's a really good fucking show. And then the third episode basically goes into like sex ed, but their parents teaching them about sex ed. It's fucking good. It's a good show. Definitely worth checking out.
Where'd you see it?
I saw it on Hulu. They're on Hulu right now, the first three episodes, because it comes out every week after the air. It's good. It's a really, really good show. Only three episodes out right now. But that's good. It's definitely a good watch. And then later on in the episode, we'll be talking about something else that I watched this week. And I know, Renee, you watched it. And yeah, we'll be talking about that a little bit later.
You didn't torture Brian? Come on, Brian. You didn't torture yourself and watch this classic of horror. '70s horror.
I didn't have time.
Okay. Fucking A. I'm the one that had to watch it. All right, cool.
You're not the only one that watched it here. I watched it too. It's not a. Actually, we can fucking just get into it now. Fuck it. Why wait till later? we watched the 1981 horror classic. For some people, we consider it a classic. It's not that great of a movie, but it is better than the remake. And I'm talking about
how is that fucking possible? How
I'm not a fan of the remake. I didn't like it.
I heard of it, but I'd never seen it, and I was really shocked at how bad this was. But
yeah, so we're talking about My Bloody Valentine. The original My Bloody Valentine from 1981. It's basically about these friends or whatever that are pretty much like defying the rules of a legendary, a legendary murderer. Like a murderer comes around every Valentine's Day and starts killing people. Typical fucking story that we've seen a bazillion times. But the only difference is that this guy he's a minor. Like literally, not a minor, like a child, but like in the cave,
like in a coal mine, like coal mine. Like
so what happens is that the coal mine basically it caves in, and a bunch of the miners died there, and he's the only quote unquote survivor, and he comes back every Valentine's Day to basically wreak havoc on town, and for 20 years, they cancel Valentine's Day. Because he's always coming around killing people on Valentine's Day. So they cancel Valentine's Day until this year. The teens are like, yo, let's do this anyway. Like, this is not real. Nothing's going to happen. We'll be fine. And little do they know that it happens. He comes out and he starts fucking killing people. And
it's like a weird version of Footloose.
Yeah, it really is.
I was thinking that.
Yeah. But it's at this point, like I said, it was done in 1981, and the biggest thing that kind of drew my attention to is like back in 1981, the MPAA basically were like, we can't put this movie out because it's too extreme, too graphic. Back in 1981, but if we're watching it now, this movie has nothing as crazy we've seen now. Like it's tame as fuck.
There's not that much gore in it. There's one kill that was kind of interesting with the old lady in the dryer,
mm-hmm.
but they barely show it. And when you told me the whole, like, I haven't looked it up, but like when you told me the whole thing about the ratings board, I was like, wow, this is either they cut too much out or the ratings board was like fucking high because it's super tame, man. Like there's not that much gore. Like there's not, I think at the end they show a little bit of blood.
Yeah.
The lady in the dryer, and yeah, like most of the kills that they do is kind of like off screen.
Yeah,
I was shocked when you told me that shit. I was like, really? Like,
yep. Because the, there's like the nothing
oldest,
in it.
It has like the oldest group of teenagers or kids I've ever seen in a movie too.
Yeah, seriously. It's one of those things that you're like, oh yeah, these are all supposed to be teenagers, but yet they all look like they're in their 30s. They really do. Like, it's not like, oh yeah, they're young looking or whatever. No, they all look like they're fucking like they all have kids.
Yeah, like they have mortgages and shit. They look like they're in their 30s. Like, it's an odd movie. Like I could see as a kid getting freaked out by this, and like the actual costume of the bad guy, like the whole mining suit and the mask, like it does look kind of cool.
Yeah,
and it's a little scary, but yeah, like this is just such like a random slasher movie from the '80s. Like I couldn't even believe they remade it. I was like, why? Like,
yeah,
didn't we say all we needed to say? Like,
yeah, this movie is like many remakes. It was completely unnecessary.
And it says 3D on the one I looked up, so I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's nothing, like, 3D worthy in it. And also, like, there's nothing, like, that, like, stood out from it. Other than the fact that, like, it was, like the biggest draw for me was the fact that, like, okay, the MPAA was like, no, fuck this movie. We can't put this movie out because it's too extreme. And then watching it, I'm like, there's nothing extreme in it at all. At all.
Yeah, it's really tame, meh kind of movie. Yeah. The Identity of the Killer was kind of easy to figure out, too.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. It's one of those, like, oh, yeah, it's this guy. And then, like, oh, no, it's actually this guy that actually killed this kid that got, his parents got killed in front of him. And he's like, oh. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna take over the mantle because I fucking killed the guy that killed my parents. So, yeah. It's an interesting watch. Like I said, it's not the best watch. But it's definitely fun to watch. So like if you want to go check it out, go check out My Bloody Valentine, the original version. Like we said earlier, it's on Hulu. Check it out. It's a fun time. I enjoyed it. It was fun to me. Especially seeing like the shitty acting and the horrible blood everywhere, the fake ass blood, of course. Like one of the scenes they the sheriff of the town, he gets a heart shape, usually how you have the chocolate in the hearts and shit. He gets one that actually has like a heart in it. Like a heart-shaped box with a heart in it. And it has like a bunch of shitty blood coming out of it. It's pretty funny. He's like, oh my god, it's happening again. It's just weird. It's a real weird fucking movie. And like I said, the acting is horrible. And the screening, the screaming and the entire thing is pretty hilarious. So check it out if you want to. Or just be glad that we told you that it's okay to watch, or be glad that you're like, oh yeah, well, you guys watched it and I didn't have to. Yeah. kind of like the show you were thinking about doing, Brian.
What's up?
Kind of like the show you were thinking about doing.
Yeah. The bad movies that, what do you call it? Still want to do that podcast. I just haven't had time.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's fair. But yeah, it's a fun watch, I think. So if you have nothing else better to do and you're bored, check it out. My Bloody Valentine.
Or if you're bored, watch other things.
Or you can watch something else too. Or you could just watch the one of yours. Be a lot more interesting, a lot more fun. But yeah, that's it for the spooky stories for the episode. Especially, well, yeah, that's one thing I wanted to get off the chest too, is that it's the Halloween season. So every week we're going to be doing a different Halloween theme or, horror movie. Horror themed movie for the rest of the entirety of the rest of December. So next week, for those that are interested and want to actually watch ahead, we will be doing Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers. So that's Halloween 6. That came out in 1990-something.
Starring Paul Thomas Rudd.
Yeah. Paul Rudd, who we've seen in all the Marvels. This is one of his first starring roles.
Yeah.
And it's pretty dope.
Where he plays Tommy.
Yeah.
The kid that she was babysitting.
Yep. And that is also on Hulu, so go check that shit out. Yeah, and we'll be talking about that next week.
I actually like that one.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
It is a fun one.
Yeah, most of the Halloweens after the first like two are pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, the storyline in 4 and 5 are
ridiculous.
As fuck
yeah,
and there's a lot of backstory about the different masks. Used, check out something I was watching recently. Go to the Cosplay Chris channel on YouTube, and he went into full detail of the history of the Michael Myers masks, not just not just the first movie. He went down the line of the entire original like series of movies, then the Rob Zombie ones, and then and then the 2018 and Halloween Kills masks. There's a lot of shit behind the scenes. Like
it sounds like a lot of shit, yeah.
Because you know, I mean, the original mask was basically a Shatner mask.
Yeah.
That they painted white because they were on a budget.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they really did. That's the crazy shit too. Like when you look back at it, you're like, holy shit, that's exactly what they did. Go check out My Bloody Valentine if you want to see that. Or you could just go check out and be ahead of us before we watch Halloween, The Curse of Michael Myers for next week. And now we got some geek shit for the week, like we always do. And the first thing that came to mind is something that, like, I'm a big fan of Archie. And I was a fan of Riverdale for a little while. I was a fan for, like, the first couple seasons. And then I kind of, like, fell off of the show. Like, I kind of, there were other things that took my attention from it. And another show that came out around the same time was Sabrina on Netflix. And then looking at it, it's all done by the same dude that does the DC shows, the Arrowverse or whatever.
Greg Berlanti.
Yes, the Berlantiverse or whatever. He is also in charge of both of these shows. Okay. And one thing that I noticed is that on Sabrina, there was an episode that they talked about Riverdale, the town of Riverdale, because it's literally like the town over or something like that.
Okay.
So what's happening in the next season of Riverdale is that Sabrina is going to be doing a cameo on there. So they're bringing in the whole witchcraft into Riverdale, which is going to be pretty interesting. I kind of want to watch that episode now. Like, I want to see what they're going to do with it. Because, of course, it was all over the place. After a while, I was like, yeah.
And that actress is actually the daughter to Jon Hamm on Mad Men.
So, you know, oh, nice. Okay. Okay.
She was like a child actor, and now she's like a teen or
20. No, she's not a child anymore.
She's no longer a child actress. But,
yeah. Yeah, and she's actually pretty good in Sabrina. Like, I watched the first night. I think it was, like, the first three seasons of it. Because I think it's on, like, season 4 or something. But it's a really good show if you want to check it out. It's of course, nothing compared to Sabrina the Teenage Witch that we saw back in, like, the early 90s. But it is a fun watch. It is very dark. Because, of course, you're dealing with witchcraft and real witchcraft, not just, you know, bright lights everywhere and witchcraft and funny ha-has. it deals with a lot of the occult and stuff like that. So that's what I enjoyed about it. The fact that they're going to actually put both of these shows together is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah. That's kind of why I liked the first season of The Order
on Netflix. Okay.
Where it was sort of like the occult and stuff. It was a good, like, cheesy, funny, but not funny show. I kind of fell off after season, like, midway of season two. And then it got canceled, so there you go. But,
you're not missing much.
No. But no, it's definitely, I need to check it out.
Yeah, it's a fun watch. They're both totally different, of course. They're both, you know, Riverdale is a lot more like a soap opera in a way.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you have Jughead dating everybody, and then you have fucking Archie trying to date everybody. And then he has, you know, the ginger gene, so like nobody gives a fuck about him because he's a ginger. So, you know, it's just a weird show. But it is a fun watch. Like, I enjoyed it. Also, like, what's his name? Jungle Boy's dad was in it in the first couple seasons as well.
Yeah, Luke Perry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his real name. Yeah. Yeah, Luke Perry was in it. Yeah, and it was sad that he didn't get to finish the show. Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah.
He was in the first few seasons as well.
Okay.
I think he's Jughead's dad. And what's her face? The girl from the Breakfast Club, she's in it too.
Molly Ringwald?
Yeah. She's somebody's mom. I think she's actually Jughead's mom.
Okay.
Yeah. Either Jughead or she. No, she's Archie's mom because she's a redhead. Yeah, she's Archie's mom. It's an interesting show that has like a crazy cast of like people that we've saw a bazillion years ago actually doing shit now.
Right.
But yeah, it's like I said, go check. I'm excited to see Riverdale meet Sabrina in the next year. So we'll see what happens with that. Something else that came out, that something that we've actually spoke about previously, and we spoke about Melissa McCarthy having something to do with Hellraiser, the reboot, reimagining female-led Hellraiser. And we finally got news that unfortunately she will not be playing Pinhead, but we got somebody else playing Pinhead, and that's gonna be what's the frick? What the fuck was the name? I forgot her name. From the L Word, Jamie Clayton is gonna be playing Pinhead, and that's gonna be pretty cool because she's been on L Word for a little while, and it's gonna be pretty cool to see a female Hellraiser because she is actually quite attractive. To see pins coming out of her head and see how she can, you know, show you how devilish things can be. I'm excited for it. I want to see Hellraiser. Bad. I haven't seen Hellraiser in a while, so like seeing a newer version of it, it's gonna be kind of interesting. What do you think, Brian?
I was never big into the Hellraiser, so probably going to skip on this one.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, and from what they're saying, it's going to pretty much like honor the original in a way with, you know, Clive Barker's, you know, doing the deeds and stuff since he's not around anymore.
Gotcha.
But it should be cool. It should be cool. I'm excited to see this. I'm excited to see where they're going to go with it and, you know, how they make it, you know, better or even like up to par with what it was back in the day. Another thing that came out, something that I'm like really excited for, everybody knows that I'm a big fan of the Batmans, and we got news this week that DC is working on something that came out as a web cartoon and, you know, as a small comic, but We got news that DC is working on a live action Wayne Family Adventures.
Interesting.
Which should, exactly, it should be very interesting. Because it basically brings in all of, you know, all of the Bat Family. But makes it a little more, you know, family friendly in a way. You got Batman, you got a in the actual thing, you actually had it had Red Hood, but not as, you know, a bad guy. And, you know, the Robins and everybody pretty much. It's gonna be pretty cool. I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with this. Barbara Gordon's in it, Jason Todd, everybody. Tim Drake, who died. but yeah, it's gonna be pretty cool. Like there's a lot of people in this. They even go as far as getting a Cassandra Cain in it too, so I'm pretty excited to see what they're gonna do with it. So this should be they got the whole cast for it already, but it should be in theaters in 2022. So get ready for the Wayne Family Adventures. It's gonna be pretty cool. I'm excited. We should be getting a trailer on the 11th. According to this article, it says we should be getting a trailer for these. Yeah. Very interesting. So by the time this episode comes out, we should actually have a trailer for it. So we should be actually on the next episode. We will see. We will see. But yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. Another thing that came out this week. Now we're gonna jump over to the other side of the big two, Marvel. Accidentally, not just Marvel, but like Marvel in India, accidentally released the theatrical date for Blade, something that technically we don't even think is actually in production yet. According to the Marvel in India, Marvel should be coming, Blade should be coming out in 2022, towards the end of 2022, and that is October 7th of 2022 is what they're saying. It hasn't even, like, from what we've known, it hasn't even started shooting yet, right, or officially having any type of anything.
I mean, outside of like a star and a director, I don't think they had anything.
Right. Else. Right. So I don't know how truthful that could be, or, you know, how anything will pan out. Because technically, if that does happen in 2022, this technically would throw it into Phase 4, not Phase 5, like they originally said.
Right.
But we could be completely wrong. I could be wrong about it, or they could be wrong. Whoever posted this and not saying they accidentally did it. So who knows? Who knows? I'm excited. I'm excited. Like, regardless, I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with Blade.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because Blade was one of the movies that I completely fucking enjoyed, with Wesley Snipes being, you know, the titular character, and seeing him run around fucking chopping people in half and shit. It's fucking dope.
Blade 1 was the first rated R Marvel film, because it was on the Marvel Knights.
Yep.
And then Blade 2 was fan-fucking-tastic.
Mm-hmm.
3 is fun in like a B-movie kind of way. Cheesy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's super cheesy, especially when you actually go back and you actually hear all the stories about it. When you hear so many negative stories and you're like, damn, was it really that bad? Like, it makes me want to watch it even more.
Where basically, we've spoken about this a lot, but basically that he was high as fuck the entire movie and only wanted to be called Blade.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going like, hey, Wesley, he wouldn't respond to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. It's fucking hilarious.
It's fucking hysterical.
Yeah. And then to add to this one, which is the next story that came out, is that Kevin Feige really wants Wesley Snipes to come back as Blade, and Nicolas Cage took him back as Ghost Rider in Secret Wars, which is technically going through a whole nother, you know, the multiverse type thing. Way into the future, obviously.
Are the Ghost Rider movies that bad? I've never seen them.
They're not that bad. They're not that great.
There were parts of each one that were good, and a lot of it that were terrible. Like Ghost Rider, the first Ghost Rider, you could see where they were going with it, but it just really fell by the wayside. But then Ghost Rider 2, I think it was called The Spirit of Vengeance, which was supposed to be like a soft reboot of their first movie, yet also still starring Nicolas Cage for whatever reason. That came out in like 2012, I think. It was better by like a little bit, but still fell by the wayside. That probably has to do a lot with who's playing Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage plays himself in everything he's in.
I mean, he's been pretty good in the last couple of things I've seen him in, so I was kind of curious.
Okay. I mean, if you want to check them out, they're not terrible movies, but I'm glad I didn't see them in theaters.
Okay.
I think I actually did watch the first Ghost Rider in theaters. I don't remember. Okay. It's been so fucking long. But I think I did see the first Ghost Rider in theaters, and I didn't see the second one in theaters. But I did enjoy both of them. They both bring their own thing. They're not, I guess, like Brian said, they're not bad, but they're not great comic book movies. There's a lot of good in both of them. There's a lot of great in both of them. As far as Nicolas Cage as Ghost Rider himself, it's pretty cool as him as
Johnny Blaze.
Johnny Blaze. It's kind of iffy on Johnny Blaze, but as far as him as Ghost Rider, it's pretty cool. But they are enjoyable, regardless.
They're a lot better. They're a lot better to watch than the Captain America movie of the '80s.
Oh yeah, way better. Way fucking better.
But the biggest thing was really his hairpiece in that movie was terrible. It was just bad.
there's a lot of, like I said, like we said, there's a lot of good shit in it. There's also a lot of bad shit in it.
Yeah.
But regardless, like it is technically a popcorn flick, so don't go in expecting like amazingness.
If you're gonna go in expecting an Oscar win for visual effects, yes, but not for anything else.
Yeah, he pretty much Nicolas Cage is the entire thing. And then to the next thing, something that was actually like pretty sad, but pretty awesome, but sad at the same time, was that Marvel was actually planning to do a new show, a new animated show, based on T'Challa, played by Chadwick Boseman. Just before he passed away, like they were already thinking about doing it because he did such a good job in What If, that they were like, "Yo, like we can bring him and do some animated shit with him, and tie it in to technically Black Panther or whatever the hell they wanted to do, whether it be him as what's his face, Star Lord, or whatever. They could have done either or, especially since spoilers, he was in, the Guardians of the Multiverse.
Yeah.
Was fucking dope.
It was a great episode.
Yeah. It was fantastic. So to see that they already had it in mind to actually put something out like this, it kinda brings not necessarily a full tear, but like a semi tear to my face. And like, oh, they could have done something. Did something amazing with it.
Like, I mean, who knows if they'll actually continue on with the series regardless.
Right.
Because you can get someone who is a decent enough sound alike. Just look at the actor that played Tony Stark.
Right.
In all of What If.
Which they shit on Tony Stark the entire time.
Yep. Well, that was either died or, you know, like, nope, we're not here. I'm not here for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of like anytime Star-Lord or T'Challa Star-Lord would show up in the episode, it was just like, it was like heartwarming to hear the voice, but knowing that it's just sad that he's gone.
Yeah.
But also thinking, I mean, we've spoken about this in the past, thinking about when we met him as T'Challa, he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he fought and fought and fought until he couldn't fight anymore.
Yep.
You know, we had honestly one of the best actors in the MCU or in general too. There's movies of his that I want to watch, but like I don't want to watch them because I'm just still like not over it. You know? Like,
yeah, no, it's fair. That's
like
fair.
Message from the King is on Netflix, and I also wanted to watch 21 Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also like, because that's also the Russos, that one, and I'm like I want to, but like I need a little bit more time. But like actually, if you go back and watch any appearance that he was in on What If, you can tell because he sounded healthier in the finale,
right?
But if you go back and watch the one where What If Killmonger saved Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
He only recorded like two or three lines because he was like really sick.
Well, not only just that, but like that also, like he didn't really have a lot of playtime in that one.
Right. But if you listen to if you go and actually listen to his voice, when Killmonger is in like the afterlife, and T'Challa's like, was it worth it? You know, like, you could just hear it in his voice that he was, like, suffering. You know?
Yeah.
And it just, unlike the times that he was T'Challa Star-Lord, and, you know, he sounded a little bit more like himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just sad all around. Like, it's sad that they're not going to be able to do it. It's sad that he won't be able to do it.
Right.
But yeah. Yay. Then some other news that was actually kind of interesting. We enjoyed WandaVision for what it was. It was a different type of story following a wholly different, completely different route that, you know, we've seen in the Marvel Universe in general.
Yeah.
And one of the characters that stood out the most on the show, other than, you know, Wanda and Vision, was Catherine Hahn's character that was what's her face, Agatha Harkness. Her character, who was very deceptive for a lot of people, because a lot of people were like, you know, she's not who she is or whatever, she's not that,
right.
And then to find out that she was that person, kind of threw off a bunch of fucking people. But I knew it from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
But there's word that her character Agatha Harkness will be getting a spinoff for Disney Plus.
That's incredible, especially because, like, if I'm not mistaken, she actually took home the Emmy for that role.
Did she?
Yeah, I know.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm almost positive. I'll look it up, but like, I know. Elizabeth Olsen got the Emmy, for sure.
Oh, nice. That's pretty awesome. I'm excited for this because Catherine Hahn, she's come a long way from fucking the Mad TV.
I forgot she was on that, but she's just great. Like, I mean, anything she's in, everything from like fucking Step Brothers to...
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, she did not win the Emmy. But Marvel fans are disappointed, as they should be.
Of course.
But knowing that she was that good and that liked on that series by not just Marvel but by the fans, and that she, you know, they were like, "Oh, we, you're great. Here's a show. I think that's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to watch it if it does happen. She's definitely come a long way in her career. I've seen her in like little bits and pieces on shows. Like she was on Hung on HBO on one episode.
Okay.
And then, of course, Step Brothers. And then she was in a movie that I think is fantastic, The Goods with Jeremy Piven.
Okay.
Where she's part of like his team of like salesmen.
I don't think I've seen that one.
The Goods, Live Hard, Sell Hard.
Yes. I have seen that one.
Yeah. That's a big cast, right? It's like James Brolin,
yeah,
Ed Helms, Catherine Hahn, Ving Rhames, blanking on dude's name who played the son that was like, who looked like an adult, but he was really like a child. Because he's in everything. The Goods is great, and she was fantastic. So, like, I'm glad that, like, she's, it's not really a career resurgence, but she's finally, like, not just a character actor.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, she's forever portrayed as Agatha, and I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm good with it, too. Like, I'm not against it. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing this. I want this, like, I wouldn't mind seeing it now, because she was actually really good in it. Like,
yeah, she was one of my favorite parts of that show.
Mm-hmm. It really was. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with her. Excited what they're going to do with her character. Because her character, of course, it was spelled out for the most part, but there were a lot of things. There was like, where else can this character go? What else can this character do?
Mm-hmm.
And that has yet to be established yet for, of course, the, you know, the ongoing watchers.
And like, for all we know, she'll surprise us and show up in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness.
That would be cool.
Because, I mean, if Wanda's going to be the main villain, pretty much, or what's hinted at anyway, you know, when she heard, I mean, spoiler alert if you haven't watched WandaVision, but, you know, that bitter end scene where, like, she's studying the Darkhold, and, like, she hears her kids, who's to say that they don't somehow tie in Agatha into this whole thing?
Yeah, exactly. Like, they could definitely do it.
I mean, granted, like, yes, her character, like, lost in the end and was, like, hypnotized into just being, like, a regular person, but she's a witch. I'm sure she'll remember how to, like, do spells.
Yeah. Oh, she definitely will. And after a while, of course, you know, that all makes sense and it all comes out in the long run.
Yeah. So, no.
That's going to be dope.
I'm definitely excited about this.
Mm-hmm. I want it. And the next thing that came out of this week, we got a couple more things. I enjoyed Game of Thrones. I still haven't seen the last season. I am excited for House of Dragons, which is a prequel to Game of Thrones, a 200-year past prequel to Game of Thrones. And we finally got a trailer this week. And it looks pretty fucking cool. Renee, you watched a lot of Game of Thrones. You watched most of
it. Yeah, but I actually haven't watched the trailer for this year. I saw the other trailer, but not this one.
Okay.
But yeah, all I noticed was that one of the Doctor Who's in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, I was like, okay. I was like, they had a whole event overseas about it, and they premiered the trailer, and I was just like, okay. I mean, I was a big fan of everything. I actually liked last season a lot. So actually, I'm excited, but I haven't had a chance to watch the trailer yet. It just dropped, like, Wednesday, I think.
Okay, yeah, it did. It did drop on Wednesday. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see this. It looks like it has a really dark story. Because, of course, there's a lot of darkness with these people. But it looks really good, too, at the same time. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with it. I want to see where it goes. I actually want to catch up on the rest of the show to actually... I wouldn't necessarily need to, but I just want to finish it before I get into the next one. So I'm excited for this. I want to see this. Because it looks really good. And the cast is pretty dope. And especially, like, they have Matt Smith in it. I like Matt Smith. And to see him as a blonde in the trailer, I'm like, oh, okay, that actually works. It looks pretty cool. And then the next trailer that we saw this week, something that, like, made me super giddy. Brian sent me this earlier in the week, and I was like, holy shit, this shit looks fucking dope. And what I'm talking about is Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, which is technically a reboot of the entire cinematic Resident Evil universe.
Because, so I've been following this for a long time, ever since I heard about it. And the writer of the movie was inspired to write the screenplay after playing the remakes for PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted it to be a fan-friendly adaptation. And after watching that trailer, holy shit, did he pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff from, like, the first game in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. It looks like it's a cross between 1 and 2. And maybe a little bit of 3. Like, I don't know. I gotta, like, really dig more, like, into the trailer, or maybe, like, watch, like, a breakdown. Maybe, like, New Rockstars or somebody will have it up. But,
right.
Watching the trailer for that, it was just fucking dark as fuck. And the biggest piece of homage to the first game that I noticed was written in blood on the window. It said itchy tasty.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, for those that don't know the whole itchy tasty thing, it's from, what you call it, was it Trevor's Journal? And it was like, hungry Scott came, you know, and like there's like the whole like breakdown of him like slowly becoming a zombie. And then it just simply ends with 4, itchy tasty. Mm-hmm. And then later, and then a little while later in the game, you actually get to kill that zombie. But the fact that they put that in there on the window, I was like, okay, this guy's doing his job.
Yeah.
And then
he's basically trying to make this a lot better.
And then seeing the liquor up close, where they made him like, because the liquor's like these jacked fucking like creatures with, you know, like their eyes look like brains, and like their tongue is ridiculously long, and they're scary as fuck. And
mm-hmm.
they're scarier in Remake 2 than they were in Part 2, which you jump a little bit, but this one you're like, oh shit.
Yep.
So there's that, and I think I'm pretty positive the monster at the end of that trailer was Birkin.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know Birkin is in the movie, and I think it's actually Neil McDonald.
Neil McDonald, he's in it.
And so I'm pretty positive he's William Birkin, and like I can't wait to see how they do that whole like that G-virus thing with that.
Yeah.
Because the zombies are T-virus. Birkin is G. He was the adaptation virus. Or like the variant version or whatever that he manipulated. I mean, I could talk Resident Evil lore all day because I fucking love that franchise. You know, like, but, oh man, I'm super stoked about this.
It looks fucking great, dude.
It actually looks scary.
Yeah.
You know,
what, like, the other one wasn't. How the other one was it?
Right, because like with Resident Evil, the whole like Paul W.S. Anderson story. I remember seeing Part 1 in theaters, and going, "Okay, it's not the game. It's a okay story. It wasn't scary." But it was like, you know, as we say with Ghost Rider, it was a popcorn flick.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw Resident Evil 2 in theaters, and I was like, okay. It's still not the game, but they brought a Nemesis with decent makeup for the time.
Yep.
You know? And they went, and that was the whole, like, they took parts of the story, but more so, like, Resident Evil Nemesis, because you had Carlos.
Yep.
And then I saw 3, on TV. And I was like, no.
all the other ones the after, other ones are, yeah, they're just like, where are they going with this? And then they do introduce Jill Valentine in one of them. And they bring him back, and it's just like, yeah, all over the fucking place. They also had like Claire Redfield in one of them as well. It's like, okay, like I see that they're trying to introduce all the characters from the movies, but it wasn't like a coherent thing with all the games in general.
Right. I mean, it was good casting on certain, like for certain ones. It was like Wentworth Miller was Chris Redfield.
Mm-hmm.
Ali Lauder was Claire.
Mm-hmm.
And Sienna Miller was Jill.
Yep.
You know, and like it was great casting for the time. But then, and even Odette Fair was Carlos.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he fit that role really well. Like the you know, the muscular, like, army dude who doesn't know what the fuck's going on. He just paid to do a job. But then they just really went downhill and, like, I didn't even see the last one. Like, I refused to fucking watch it.
It's not that bad. It's a fun watch because they do. If you've watched the other ones, why not watch this one? Because of course, there is a story, and they kind of tie it all in.
Yeah,
because the last one
they brought back Michelle Rodriguez and like Colin, yeah, Simon as like, yeah, clones of like the other.
Yeah, they bring everybody back. So they kind of like they tie everything in a nice little bow, so you can just like throw it off a bridge,
right?
But yeah, yeah. For this one, for the new one, yeah, you were right. Neil McDonough is playing William Birkin.
Nice.
Also, Tom Hooper from
From Umbrella Academy.
Yes, he is. He plays Wesker.
Nice. I could totally see him as Wesker.
Yeah. Robbie Amell, Steve Amell's cousin or whatever, he plays Chris Redfield.
Chris, yeah. If they, like, for that, considering that I'm sure they're going to want to make more of these, if this one does well, casting a younger actor as Chris is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Because Robbie Amell is probably, what, in his mid-30s?
Yep.
So, like, he can do these, you know?
Yeah, he can do this for a while.
Yeah, because I know fan casting a while back was Matt Dillon as Chris, who would have fit perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt Dillon, at the time when everybody was trying to cast him, he was already like in his 40s.
Yeah.
You know, and then you want to make more. You know, it's, yeah.
They're like, how are they going to do this? How are they going to do this? How are they going to make this make sense?
And I like that Donald Logue is in this as, yes, Brian Irons, the chief.
Mm-hmm.
Which I wonder if they'll go the route of Resident Evil 2 remake with that.
That would be interesting.
Because Brian Irons was not a nice guy. And there's that one moment in Resident Evil 2, if you play the Jill story. Mm-hmm. Not the Jill, the Claire story. That, right, like, they focus on Sherry Birkin, and, like, she's being held captive by Irons, and she...
Interesting.
Yeah, and, like, you have to, like, escape, like, the daycare facility in the, like, near, like, the police station.
Okay.
And navigate whenever, like, he's, like, looking around with, like, the flashlight trying to, like, find you. You have to, like, navigate and cut around his shadow and escape and then like run away and shit. And then
interesting.
It's a fucking creepy ass story. Or side story in the game itself.
That'd be interesting. Cause if they do throw this in there, cause Sherry Birkin is the cast of this as well.
I see. Yeah, I see that. So I wonder if they would do that at least in some form.
Right.
I like that they brought in, Annette Birkin.
Yep.
I like that they're bringing in Ada Wong.
I like they're bringing in fucking Leon, dude. Leon was awesome.
Yeah, Leon is great. Yeah, I see that, they're bringing in Lisa Trevor, who was in Remake Part 1.
Mm, okay.
So, like, with Remake, the original Remake, for Res 1, which I remember playing for GameCube. I actually still have it.
Jeebus, that's a long time ago.
That's a long time ago. And then, then, of course, they remastered it, you know, but kept the same gameplay and shit for, because, you know, you don't change the gameplay for something that perfect.
Right, exactly. Like, just perfect it.
Yeah. And so, like, the whole Lisa Trevor thing is like a whole, I'm not going to get to her backstory, but it's creepy as fuck. And like, in the mansion in the first game, in the shitty PlayStation game, you could only go to a certain part behind the steps in the mansion. But like in the remake, they made it where there's an elevator behind it. You have to like get the pieces to like unlock the gate. And then you eventually fight Lisa Trevor, and it's she's one of like the descendants of, or one of the children of like the family that like started all this shit, and they've been doing like all the genetic testing, like, and she became like this one of the sickest looking creepy,
yeah,
you know. And if you look at the live still, from the trailer, like, they did the makeup job fucking perfect.
Yeah, there's a lot of good things in this trailer, and I'm like, oh, I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with this.
When I saw RPD, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I can't fucking wait.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's very, very, very fucking cool. Very fucking cool. Something that I'm like, I'm really looking forward to. And actually, like, a decent Resident Evil movie.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, yeah. But we'll see. We'll see. We've only got a trailer so far, so.
But so
far, we thought the original trailer for the first one was actually pretty good back then.
Yeah.
So we can only hope.
But also the fact that, like, they originally, so George Romero actually wrote a screenplay, and they turned him down.
Really?
Before they went the direction of the whole Alice 6 movie bullshit franchise.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So
that would have been dope.
I always like to read like the trivia on shit. Mm-hmm. And like obviously I'm not going to go through all of them because there's a lot, but it says Robbie Amell is a fan of the Resident Evil video games.
Okay. Oh,
he's actually going to be into his character.
You could hope so. You could hope so. Yeah, so that pretty much wraps it up for this week's geek news. We had a decent amount of shit. Before we go, there was actually something that I forgot to mention that I did watch. Something that I know, Renee, you watched as well, because you actually recommended it to me, was VHS 94.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, I was saving that for next week. But yeah, it's good.
It's fucking dope, dude.
It's gory as fuck too. Like I like yeah. It makes up for the last VHS movie, which was horrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, Shudder's awesome, man. If you're into horror, and you should definitely check out Shudder. And yeah, like for being a Shudder movie too, like it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of super cheesiness in it, as far as like a lot of the CG, of course, is super cheesy. But the stories are actually pretty good. Like, I enjoyed the first story. I enjoyed the last story. And I really did enjoy the main, you know, the wraparound story around the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. It was really, really good. Really fun. I enjoyed the VHS series. So, like, to see that they're actually back to doing some actually pretty good shit kind of keeps me excited to see what they're going to do in the future. Or if they're going to do anything in the future. Yeah.
Definitely worth seeing, though.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Definitely worth watching. And that's wrapped it up for the week. So, guys, make sure you go to innercitygeeks.net, where we got a whole bunch of shit sometimes. Of course, we got this show. We have It's Poppin'. We have Bright 3J Presents. We have the ICGPW Slamcast. Good Games. The InnerCity Geeks Turntable. First Watch. So much other shit up there. The Innercity Geeks webcomic, Comics with the World, Manga Time, Anime World. Like I said, a bunch of fucking shit. So make sure you go check all that shit out. Also on there, we have links to Amazon.com. Obviously, you can go to Amazon, just type in Amazon.com. But if you go to InnercityGeeks.net, you get your first fucking month free with Amazon Prime, or you could just buy whatever the fuck you want on there, and you know, it'll give us a little bit of credit once if you click that link. So go check that out. And then there's also links to awesome places, other awesome places like Beard Doxing, where you get some pretty cool bearded shit. Something for your beard, so that way it looks all nice and stuff looks all nice and fluffy. So check out Beard Octane and type in ICD10 for 10% off your entire purchase. Then there's another link for So Sick Clothing Company, is a place that sells a lot of cool geeky related shirts and hats and hoodies and stuff. And then for checkout, type in Inner City Geeks for 15% off. So go do that. That's pretty cool. Then there's CBDMDs for some pretty dope CBD stuff. Stuff that's going to make you feel good, make you feel better with life, make your days go by so much easier. So there's no promo code for that one. But it's decently priced. So you go check out some CBD shit there. Then there's also Sideshow Collectibles. About that time, you know, Christmas is coming. You want to get some pretty cool fucking toys. Go check out Sideshow Collectibles. There's a lot of cool shit on there. And it's worth it, dude. Check out Sideshow Collectibles. We got some good shit there. So go check all that shit out. Then you could find us. You can listen to the show. Of course, if you're listening to the show, you already know where you can find us. You're listening to us. But you can also find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcast, and on motherfucking Spotify. And then as far as the social networks and places that you can interact with us or interact with, you know, with just the show in general, you can find the show on the Facey Space, or faceyspace.com/innercitygeeks, on the Twitters at Inner City Geeks, on Instagram at Inner City Geeks, and where can we find you guys? Brian.
You could find me off camera here for those of you watching the live stream, trying not to slide out of this chair.
Nice.
You could find me on all the socials, but definitely check me out on Twitter, BRI_2J, Bright2J, and then Bright2J or Bright2J Presents on Instagram. Check out Bright2JPresents.com, and there's links to my YouTube and whatnot, so definitely go there and watch some videos. There is new content coming. Just been a little bit busy. So I mean, it's only been a couple of weeks since my last video. Near a year. So you'll be okay. I got some good stuff on its way.
Exactly.
It'll
be worth the wait.
Yeah. And, I'm actually going to give a plug out to a buddy of mine.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys are looking for a really cool concept action figure line, check out Street Humans. So Street Humans on Instagram, and go to their Kickstarter. It's cool, like fully articulated, lots of accessories and shit. Dope ass looking pieces. I supported my buddy Shardimus Prime with that because he's involved with it. I didn't know he was nervous as fuck about it too. So check those out. Go to the Street Humans web, like Instagram, and go to the in the story, you'll see the Kickstarter link. And he's hoping to get this out by November to actually be up, you know, and be an actual inline, fully funded line. It was $43.
That's not bad for a whole fully articulated figure.
Yeah, it's
because I did see they do have multiple hands, multiple heads, and stuff like that.
Yeah, and so support whichever way you can. Since I'm kind of broke, I only got the one, but which is cool because the one that I bought with if you put on the hair, the one with the long hair and the beard, it sort of looks like me.
Nice.
So I'm like, oh. So
I got my own figure.
I'm gonna have my own figure. Nice. So check that out, kickstarter.com, Street Humans, and they're gonna $35 plus shipping, so $43.
Nice. Oh, I'll put a link on the show notes and stuff too. So
sweet. So yeah, definitely check that out, and as for me, content's coming. Just be patient. Nice. I'll be there. And that's about it for me.
Sweet. Renee, will you find you, sir?
You can find me at Twitter and Instagram at DarthBX, DarthBX. Yeah.
Nice, nice. And you guys can find me at Mr. Jackal, MASTERJACKAL. And like I said, thank you guys for listening. Like always, I appreciate you guys. Love the fact that you guys listen and share the show. Thank you guys for all that. Thank you guys for sitting through us, our rambles, and all the other goodness that we have here. Like I always say, don't be a dick, but always remember that the geeks shall inherit the earth.